Of Matia Daf Chofvava Mit Beis, missed opportunities Matanahu Di Yav Levi Sura Da Avad Avad. Mostly when we've done something wrong, we have a mechanism to correct what we've done wrong. We can do tshuva, we can correct. If we've taken something that belongs to somebody else, we can return it, we can apologize. There are things we can do to correct wrongdoings, but there are cases when there's an opportunity to correct, and if we miss that opportunity, it's over. We don't get the opportunity to correct it again. And our Gemara deals with such a case. Just a wonderful a piece of Gemara that we'll learn today, in so understanding quite a wide range of issues relating to theft and the finding of lost property. When you find the lost property of somebody else, you come into the territory of three mitzvot. One mitzvah, mitzvah taseh, one of them is a positive mitzvah, something you're meant to do. And the other two are mitzvahs lo ta'aseh, mitzvot that you've got to abstain from. What are the three mitzvot? I've got them here at the top of the sheet. The first one is lo tigzol. You've got to be careful. It's not yours. The property is lost property, belongs to somebody else. There's a potential to be over in isur gezela, to transgress the prohibition of stealing, of taking property that isn't yours. The second is hashev teshivim. You've got to, in Parshas Ki Tetzeh we learn, you've got to return the lost property. If you don't return the lost property, you haven't been mekayim a mitzvah taseh, you failed to fulfill a positive obligation, an active obligation that you were meant to do. And the third is also in Parshas Ki Tetzeh, lo tuchal lehitalem. You're not allowed to ignore you. If you've come across lost property, you've got to act, you've got to do something, you've got to return it. You can't just ignore, you can't turn your face aside and make as if you didn't see it. So those are the two mitzvot that govern the relationship of an individual to lost property. He's walking in the streets, he finds a lost property. All of a sudden, three mitzvot kick into action, and he has to fulfill all three mitzvot. Now we have an amazing statement of Rava, or according to the Ramban and others, it's Rabba. We won't get into why, but if you remember some of the early Shurim, you'll realize it can't be Rava. What is the case? Ra'a sela shenafla. You're walking behind somebody and you see that he dropped a golden Rolex. Or in the Gemara, it's a sela. It's a coin. And it's something that obviously doesn't have a siman, it doesn't have any particular identifying marks on it. You just notice that it dropped. Netala, you don't waste a second and you pick it up. Lifnei yeush, the person hasn't even noticed that it's dropped. You don't go up to him and say, "Excuse me, sir, I think you've dropped something." You wait until he walks on a little bit, is out of view, you pick up the sela and you put it in your pocket, al menat legozla, with the intention of taking it home. You have no intention of giving it back to him. So that moment is a defining moment. Your whole relationship with the golden Rolex is defined at that moment when you picked it up with the intention of stealing it. Over bekulan, says Rava, you've transgressed all three mitzvot. Mishum lo tigzol, umishum hashev teshivim, umishum lo tuchal leitalem. All of these three you're in trouble with. Then we have an amazing comment of the Bahag, the Baal Halachot Gedolot. The Baal Halachot Gedolot, we've mentioned him before. He's one of the oldest halachic texts that we have after the period of the Gemara. So you know that after the period of the Gemara, end of the 7th century, we start the period of the Gaonim, the 8th and the 9th century, part of the 10th century, even those are the Gaonim. These were great Rosh Yeshivas in Babylon, but after the time of the Gemara, during the time of the Talmud, from the 3rd century to the 7th century or so, we've got this incredibly productive period in Babylon where there's enormous debate and discussion. It's so vital. And out of that comes the Talmud Bavli, the Gemara that we're studying. Right after that, there's a much quieter period where we don't have much, not much is published. From the period of the Goenim, we have things from the later Goenim, from Rav Hai Goen, Rav Shrair Goen. We've got the Sheiltas from Rav Achai Goen, who's very early, that's 8th, 7th century. And we've got the Bahag. The Bahag, there are two views as to who wrote the Bahag. The Rishonim themselves are not altogether clear who wrote the Bahag. Some Rishonim say it was written by Rabbi Yehudai Goen, who was a Goen in the 9th century. And some say it was Rabbi Shimon Cairo, who was also a Goan. He's not called a Goan because he wasn't a Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't have a formal position. But he was of the same stature and authority as the Goanim. That was the 8th century. That would have been even earlier. Whatever the case is, the Bahag has enormous authority. He does something like the Rif does. He goes through the Shas and he pulls out the important pieces of Gemara that are important lahalacha. Probably the Rif styled himself on the work of the Bahag. The Bahag is given enormous authority, both in halacha and in understanding the Gemara. And he makes a comment here which is so important that it became incorporated into the text of the Gemara itself. So I've put it here in italics, but in the Gemara it's not in italics. In the Gemara, it's just printed as part of the Gemara text. To completely incorporate, the Rif incorporates it as part of his Gemara. Or maybe the Rif already had texts, had Gemaras where it was already incorporated. But we see the Rif brings it into the Gemara. My edition of the Bahag, of the Baal Halachas Gedolos, has in it the notes of Reb Zev Wolf Lipkin. Reb Zev Wolf Lipkin is interesting because he's the father of Reb Yisrael Salanter. And Reb Yisrael Salanter obviously considered the Bahag sufficiently important to study it from beginning to end and to make notes on it, not huge notes, just small little notes. And here he makes the note that this little piece of Bahag was incorporated into the Gemara, as we see from the Rishonim here. What does the Bahag say? He adds on, V'afal gav dechazara la'achar yeyush. And what happens if he just changes his mind and he now feels all guilty? And he's got this golden Rolex that doesn't belong to him, and he thinks, you know what, I'll give it back. But meanwhile, the owner's given up hope. He now has discovered that he's lost it. He has no idea where he lost it, and there's no way he's going to find it back. And so he decides he gives up hope. He's here, miyayish. And you remember, yeyush means you release your own ownership of it, and you virtually gift it to whoever finds it. You hope somebody good finds it. At that point, the deceitful finder of the property decides to become a tzaddik, and he says, I'm going to give the property back. Says the Gemara, or the Bahag in actuality, Matanahu diyayevle. That's very nice of him. He's giving a gift of a golden Rolex to a strange man. V'isur da'avad avad, but it doesn't undo the isurim. There's nothing he can do to undo the isurim. This is now a gift. This is a new chapter. It's giving of a gift. The Baal Hamor asks, now you remember the Baal Hamor? We had him only a few days ago, so now we're becoming familiar with these Rabbeim that we're learning from. The Baal Hamor, you remember, was in Provence. He was a friend of the Ravid. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Avraham of Beis Din, and they were very critical. The Baal Hamor writes a critical work on the Rif, and the Ravid writes a critical work on the Rambam. Their school was obviously one that was very questioning of a lot that was being produced at that time. And he says, Hei chiyava matona, why is this a gift? Haven't we learned already that when you took it, you had no right to take it? Because he wasn't miyayish. The owner had not given up hope. So this belongs to somebody else. You had no right to take it. Your obligation was to return it. And that obligation remains. So why is this a gift? I'm not giving a gift. I'm returning his lost property. Why is it a gift? If you took it in your capacity as the finder of lost property, just that you took it too early. When you took it, he hadn't yet given up hope. Later on, he gives up hope. Your obligation to return it remains. You still have to return it. Here he is a thief. It's the same action. You pick up a golden Rolex that you find on the floor and it has no marks on it. You can be a motzi aveda, you could be a finder of lost property, or you could be a gazlan. In this case, his intention was to steal. If his intention was to steal, he's a gazlan. Shari nitkaven le gozla. The gazlan koner le olam b'yeush mishum takanat ha-shavim. The Chazal said that a gazlan acquires it and is obligated to return it, but he's got to pay for it for various reasons. He doesn't have to give back the item. That's something that Chazal instituted. He doesn't have to give back the item because we're afraid if by the time the person decides to he wants to do tshuva and give it back, by that time he's used it, he's sold it, and it's very difficult to give it back. We're afraid he won't give it back. So we say, okay, you've got, but at least pay back the money to the person. So here he says, this is a gazlan, and therefore the Rolex is his. Yes, he has a responsibility to pay back, to compensate the owner of the Rolex, but he doesn't have the obligation to return the Rolex. So returning it instead of giving him the money for it, that's an act of gifting, explains the Baal Hamor. That's how it works. Asks the Rabbeinu Yonason Belunil, that's the same area, Provence. Rabbeinu Yonason is also part of that same Beis HaMedrash. These are all people we're becoming familiar with. A friend of the Baal HaMor, Chavrus of the Baal HaMor, a friend of the Rav, the Talmid of Rav Avraham of Beis Din. And he says, V'im tomar heich avei mishum bal tigzol. And if you'll say, you could ask on the Gemara, how could he be over bal tigzol? You're saying, the averas are done. You can't, there's nothing you can do to undo the averot. So you pick up the golden Rolex, your intention is to steal it. You change your mind. I'm going to give it back to him. Says the Gemara, says the Bahag, as we've got it in the Gemara, but the prohibition of theft, you've been over, you've transgressed that. You're not undoing that. Hakim ve'yeshivit ha'gzela. We have a principle with it, that a lo tigzol, that first prohibition in Parshas Kedoshim, is nitak le'aseh. It's conditional on not then fulfilling the positive mitzvah. The positive mitzvah is return it. If you do return it, then you haven't done lo tigzol. So lo tigzol is a suspended prohibition. You've stolen something that isn't yours. Now, if you keep it, you've transgressed. If you return it, you haven't transgressed. Ask Rabbi Enyonis, you've returned it. So even though originally my intention was to steal it, but at the end of the day, I returned it. Surely this is no longer lo tigzol. Why does the Bahag say, I can never get away from lo tigzol? I've stolen and I can never recover. Yesh lomar, he says, a beautiful idea. Ki hechi delo kiyem hashev teshivem, kivan shimtin lahachazira la'achar yeush, kemo kein lo kiyem veheshivet hagzela. He comes with an amazing chidush, a new idea in the mitzvah of hashev teshivem. When the Torah says, if you come across something that belongs to your friend, whether it's lost property or whatever, in this case, it's something that's been lost. Hashev teshivem, immediately, your immediate response has to be, how do I get this back to its owner? That's what hashev teshivem means. But you didn't do it immediately. First you thought, this is a nice gold Rolex, I'll keep it. And then you were guilty, now you want to give it back. In such a case, he says, you're no longer mekayim v'hishivit agzela. That's no longer returning the lost property, because that's no longer considered hashev teshivem. How do you get out of having stolen if you return it? But if you took it with the intention of stealing it and later on you decided, no, I'm going to change my status from thief to finder of lost property. Yes, but since you didn't have that immediate impulse to give it back, that's not called hashev teshivem. Yes, technically I'm giving it back to him. But the mitzvah of hashev teshivem, you shall surely give it back to him, means immediately. If it's not your immediate impulse, then you've lost that opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvah of hashev teshivem. If you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of hashev teshivem, then you're still bound by the prohibition of lo tigzol, then it's still lost property in your hands. You haven't given it back. Now you go and you give it back to him. Well, that's a gift. You can no longer give it back to him in the capacity of a finder of lost property, because in the interim you were a thief. The fact that your intention interimly was to steal it means that that precious moment of choosing to be a finder of lost property, because that's a choice. When you find something in the Rishus HaRabim, you find property in the Rishus HaRabim, you have a choice. Am I going to take it for myself or am I going to return it? That moment of choice is the critical moment. Because if at that moment of choice you decide I'm going to keep it, you can never recover from that. And now you give it back to the owner, that's fine. You're giving it back to the owner as a gift. But you haven't undone the wrongdoing of theft. You entrenched the wrongdoing of theft the moment you decided to keep it for yourself instead of giving it back. Your mindset created your status. And that status is irrevocable. Does it mean you still have to pay? Yes, you have to pay him. You have to compensate him. I'm not only compensating him, I'm actually giving him back the original thing. He doesn't have to worry about buying a new one. I'm giving back his very object. That's very nice of you. It's a matana. But it doesn't mean that you weren't a thief. You were a thief and there's nothing you can do about getting out of it. That's how Rabbeinu Yonason learns it. And the Tosfos Shantz, who comes from a different school of Tosfos, a Talmud of the Ri, learns it the same way. Da'ashev teshivem lo kiyem me'achar dehimtin ad la'achar yeush. By waiting until he gives up hope, you have not been mekayim hashev teshivem. Hashev teshivem, the mitzvah of returning lost property, is immediate. It's an immediate impulse. You waited till he gave up hope. Kivan she'ayachol la'ashiv kodim yeush. Since you were able to have done it earlier, and you didn't do it earlier, you chose not to do it immediately. Isn't that interesting? Procrastination is a choice. deciding not to do something now, but rather to do it later, is a choice. Very often, the choice doesn't have major moral ramifications or halachic ramifications. It just means you've postponed something. But you can decide to postpone saying Kriya Shema, and then you've missed it, and you can't say Kriya Shema again. There are times when it's so important to understand procrastination is a choice. And if it's a choice, we're not talking about where you had no opportunity. This is your first opportunity. That's not procrastination. You did have an opportunity to return it. You chose not to return it. You planned to keep it for yourself. Now you want to give it back. Those words imply immediately pick it up and take it back. There's a time element to the return of lost property. The return of lost property is not, I'll take it home and sometime I'll get around to getting it back to him. No, Hashev Teshivim has an urgency to it. That's why the Torah repeats it. Hashev Teshivim. He doesn't just say Teshivim, you must return it. Hashev Teshivim, you must immediately return this to your friend. That urgency of the return of lost property is so important. The Rosh and Tosfos say, but still, the din is that even though you don't have to return the item itself if you've stolen it, but you do have to pay. And when you pay, you've undone the gezeila. So again, it says don't steal. Don't steal is dependent on not paying it back. If you pay it back, then you haven't stolen. Says the Rosh and our Tosfos, that's even if you pay the money. So you steal the gold Rolex, and you sell the gold Rolex, you give it away, you lose it. And now you have charota, you decide you want to pay it back. So you pay back cash. Once you've paid back the money, you're no longer considered having stolen. Here he pays back again. So Tosfos says, even with the Rabbeinu Yonason's way of learning, it still doesn't make sense. Why is it a Lo Tigzol? And Tosfos and the Rosh actually say no. Lo Tigzol, you can correct. What the Bahag means here is Lo Tuchal Lihit Aleim, that third mitzvah, that you're not allowed to ignore the lost property, that you can't fix. Because the fact is, at the time you did ignore it. At the time you didn't give it back. So Lo Tuchal Lihit Aleim, you were over. You've transgressed that and you can never take that back. But Lo Tigzol, you can repair by repaying. But according to the Baal Hamor, as explained by Rabbeinu Yonason and the Tosfos Shantz, there's no way that you can even repair the Lo Tigzol because you missed that golden moment where you had the choice to do it now or to procrastinate and do it later. And the choice to do it later, but it's not even procrastination. The choice was, I will steal it, I will keep it. And then you change your mind. That moment of choice becomes the critical moment. There's a beautiful Ramban, which we don't have the time to go into, where the Ramban answers Tosfos and the Rosh's question in the most ingenious way. As I say, we don't have time to go into that at the moment. But to understand the importance of the moment and the choices we have to make in the moment and how those choices define us. Sometimes we can make a bad choice and later on down the road we can reverse the bad choice and we can correct what we've done. But there are times where we can't. There are times where we make a bad choice in the moment. And even if we physically correct it, there's a moral damage has been done, ethical damage has been done, damage to character has been done that sometimes can never be corrected. And so important that we're conscious of the moment, we're conscious of the choices we make in the moment, and to try to make the choices that are right in every way.